B-Pod Studios.
Thanks for choosing Felger and Maz to entertain and inform you in the afternoon.
E-class.
Felger and Maz. 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Hour number two, Felger and Maz. Mike's out today. Adam Jones is alongside. Marshall Hook is here to fill in for Jim Murray on headlines. 617-779-0985. We spent the first hour on the Patriots. I want to introduce this other topic because I thought it was a pretty good one. The other night I was on the Talking Baseball show on NBC Sports Boston. And one of the producers there raised this question, and I thought it was a good one. And it really speaks to the mindset of the fans in town, given all the winning that has taken place in Boston here over the last 20 years. And you don't need me to rattle off the numbers for you, but nonetheless, the Bruins in the Stanley Cup, the 18th trip to the finals for a Boston team since the start of the 2001 football season. 18 trips to the final, 12 championships, 6 losses.
It's okay.
Right? Pretty good. Jones is so unimpressed with everything, Marshall.
Yeah.
It's good, I guess.
12-6 in the finals, pretty good. And yet, like, I've started to wonder whether or not that is really sort of to filter into the thought process of the Boston fan and corrupt the way that they think. Frankly, I think people are getting stupid, if you want to know the truth. Really, it's really what it comes down to. So let's use the Red Sox as an example, because it's an easy one. They are having, by their standards, based on expectation, or rather by our standards, based on expectation, they are having a disappointing year. The first half, I think, has been a failure. I mean, I go so far as to call it an F. But they're also 8 games over 500 and a couple games out of the wild card. They're still in playoff contention. And yet we've had a lot of people in the program call up and say, trade Mookie, trade J.D. Martinez, get rid of Porcello, rebuild the thing, bring it, basically blow it up. We've had people call up and say, blow it up. Is that really the right thing to do? And are people thinking that way? Because the winning has made people think purely in terms of championships. In other words, if you're not a championship contender right now, right here, blow it up and get me one that can be every year, year in and year out. You follow me?
Yeah, but I don't really have a problem with it the way you worded it. If you're a championship contender, then you should be going the other way, right? I mean, if you're not a championship contender now, then put yourself in the best position to be a championship contender later. Like, I really don't disagree with that. And maybe every market can't look at it that way. You know, you're the Carolina Hurricanes. You can throw a ticker tape parade if you want for going to the Eastern Conference Finals. But especially in a market where there has been winning, as you said, and it doesn't need to be every team in as much success, just a market that's somewhat familiar with the championship, I'd say, yeah, that's the right way to do it. And the reason I'm not blowing up the Red Sox is because I think they can be championship contenders. So I'm not blowing up the Red Sox.
Okay, but this is my point, Adam, is that you say, no, because that team's good enough. That team's good enough.
Yep.
Then why are some fans saying we should rip it apart?
Well, because not everyone agrees that they're good enough. And I think a case can be made they're not good enough. We rational minds can disagree on that. I think if everything clicks, they can still be a championship contender. I thought that with the Celtics last year, by the way, and then clearly things went off the rails. So blow it up, start over, do what you can. And I know they didn't quite follow that, but I don't think that would be a bad way to go. It's better than being stuck in the middle.
So listen, again, the middle part of it is, I'm just telling you, using the Red Sox as a jumping off point, blowing up the Red Sox is a mistake. It's a mistake. And has it gotten to the point where people are so championship focused in the short term, like that, if we're not going to win it this year, rip it apart so I can have one 3 years down the road that can win, you know, over a 5 year period. I just think that is an irrational decision. That's extreme. And honestly, I might be even guilty of it.
You definitely are.
What's that, Marshall?
You definitely are. So or at least this program is.
Okay, but I look at it, but I don't think we sit here when a team's not on the verge of winning a championship and say, blow it up. I don't think we do that. If you're building towards something.
Celtics.
In fact, no. Felger has said the opposite with the Celtics. He said, no, you still have Jason Tatum. You still have Jaylen Brown.
Yeah, he likes having his seasons. That's true.
Okay,
Give me a Celtics season. Give me a Red Sox. I want a baseball season. That is true. He likes his seasons.
So this notion that we're blow it up all the time is wrong. I mean, that's wrong. We're not blowing up all the time.
No, just sometimes.
Like, you're just don't follow it if it's not going to be a champ. Why bother if it's not a championship?
So, but I will admit that when it comes to Mookie Betts,
yes,
okay, I admit that I take the cheese on that one. Like, I look at it and say, but it's not because I think the Red Sox can't win. It's because I think you can get more from Mookie now, and he's going to leave anyway.
Yeah, you're
so this
of
would be my
nothing.
Question on the Red Sox specifically, and I understand the point is bigger than just the Red Sox. Would a theoretical trade of Mookie Betts and only Mookie Betts constitute blowing it up? Because for me, I look at it and I say, I don't think so. I look at what you say, that the likelihood that he stays around is not great. They may or may not have the pieces to do it this single season. So maybe trading Mookie Betts this season gets you enough pieces that you're immediately back in it next season, whether it's those pieces you get that put you there or you're able to turn those pieces into something else. So it's not about blowing the entire team up. It is about demanding a actual title contender, which you may think this team is not this year, like I don't think this team is, and an acknowledgement of the reality that it looks as though Mookie Betts is not going to hang around. And when you throw all that in a pot together and mix it up, you get trade Mookie Betts so you can be a title contender as soon as next year.
Yeah, so
that's not blowing it up.
No. So look, you're talking about a happy medium, Marshall. Okay, you're talking, get me somewhere in between where we can accomplish both. I'm telling you that I think the mentality of the fan base has gotten a little too loose with that sort of thing.
They may think more in a little black and white than they do the nuance of gray. That's correct.
I mean, again, the Celtics are a good one, Pac-Man. The Celtics are a good one. So Kyrie left and Horford left, and you've had people say, trade Jaylen Brown, rip it apart, don't sign Kemba Walker, just completely deconstruct the thing. Is that really the right way to go?
I don't know. That's what I wanted to do. So I didn't necessarily like the Kemba signing. I think they overpaid for a B-level player, not an A-level player, right? But, yeah, I do think that's the right way to go. If you're not contending for a championship now and you don't feel they're a championship contender, right?
I don't.
Then put yourself in the best position to do that down the line. So I think the cap space savings from Kemba may pay some dividends down the line, and I know they may have gotten to the cap this year, but not having a guy locked in at 30-plus for the next 4 years, I think that may put him in a better position. See what you can get for some of the other pieces on the team and then be a true championship contender. I don't see why that's a bad thing.
I'm not telling you it's a bad thing.
No, well, I don't see why that's a...
But I also don't know how realistic it is. In other words, particularly in that league, I just think that the winning makes us think you can deconstruct it and build a champion, no problem. And the reality is it's not that easy. We've made it look easy.
Well, Ainge has done that twice. A championship contender, not a title, obviously. But he's torn it down to the studs and built a championship contender twice. So, I don't know. I like to think he could do it again.
Has he really done it the second time?
Yeah. I think they were a title contender. If you want to use contender loosely, I think last year they had the talent to win a championship. Yes. Now, they didn't even come close, but they had the talent to do it. If everything broke right, that team could have won a title. I believe that. If Toronto won last year, yeah, I believe that.
Yeah, I still think that. See, I'm reluctant to put last year's team in that group because I don't think they were quite there yet.
Okay, you don't think they were a championship contender the year before?
No, not the year before.
No?
No. No. Were they a real threat to win the championship the year they lost Kyrie and Hayward?
So sorry. Kyrie's on that roster. If Kyrie stayed healthy, Kyrie was healthy most of that year. Yeah, I think that was a championship contender. Yes. I think they would have won the East if Kyrie were healthy. Then they're in the finals. Would they have beaten Golden State? I don't know. Probably not. But yeah, but if you're in the finals, you're a contender.
Yeah, my definition of it then is different than what yours is. I mean, I'm talking about someone that can legitimately win it. And I just, you know, I'm not looking at someone to be in the Final Four. And the NBA is tricky with this argument because, for obvious reasons. I mean, in that league, you can be the fifth best team in the league and still be miles from a championship. Miles. Like, I don't know, Portland this year. Portland get to the conference final, they get swept. Were they really?
No, I agree with you on Portland.
So, you know.
But the Celtics are more talented than Portland.
So you're basing it purely on the talent.
Yeah.
Okay. And look, again, you might be right. I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just telling you that I think all the winning has corrupted the way that people think. And maybe myself included. Like this idea that all of a sudden in the middle of the year, you would just rip apart a team that won a championship a year ago. And again, I'm focusing on the Red Sox part of it. But I think there was a similar sort of vibe with the Celtics. Really? That's what we're going to do now is get that loose with it? You get a team that's good and you rip it apart?
Well, let me ask you, to continue with the analogy with the Red Sox and Celtics, looking back at it last year at the trade deadline, shouldn't the Celtics have ripped it apart?
Some of it.
Okay, well, then that's again, I think the Red Sox, if everything clicks, can be a championship contender. That's why I'm not ripping it apart. I want a good, honest title run and a chance to repeat. But if you believe some of the same things about the Red Sox you believed about the Celtics, then you should rip it apart.
Tell you what, Mark is in Providence. Mark, what do you think?
I think Danny realized the mistakes that he made last year, not adding a couple of pieces at the deadline and trading some of the young players, because you're not going to win a championship with three or four starters that are young players. So he regrouped and brought in the big guy, which is a mid-level guy as far as talent, and then he brought in Kemba Walker, who is plenty good enough at that position for a championship. And this year, at the deadline or sooner, he will trade some young players and put together a team that can contend in the playoffs.
Can I ask why you think he's going to make a move at the deadline? I think the last deadline move Ainge made was Isaiah. So I'm not so confident he's making a deadline move.
He has to. Every team in the playoffs last year outside of Golden State made moves to improve their team.
Okay, so Mark, I let him go. This is sort of what I'm talking about. Mark's looking at it and saying, no, you trade one of the young guys now and then you go and win a championship. Is that really the right thing to do, or do you wait out Brown and Tatum, see if they turn into the elite players, and then you have your team that can make it sustain run? Like, I just wonder if the patience now is completely gone. Is that what it's amounted to, that we've lost all patience with it at all? It's just, there is a process in building these things that takes time. I don't like it either. I would love for it to happen now. But I just think with the Celtics now, they took a step back. There's no two ways around it. So now we want them to trade off Brown and Tatum and try to go for a title like this guy's saying at the deadline next year?
Just Brown.
So again, you tell me who you're getting back, we could have that discussion, because I'm willing to trade anybody. But I don't know. It just feels to me like, again, we've gotten really impatient with that. Really. But you tell me, as a fan, maybe you are impatient, maybe you're not. To me, it feels like, though, you got to slow down a little bit. 617-779-0985. Jones is in for Felger. Marshall's in for Murray. We'll be right back.
The Sports Hub. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Doesn't always have to be ha ha hee hee.
Oh, love it.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
A lot of you are lined up, plenty on your minds. We'll get right to your phone calls. Doug is in Virginia. Doug, what do you got?
Hey, you were talking earlier about how Brady's come full circle, and I was just wondering if you guys could put your brains to thinking about maybe the team is being built for his heir apparent, whoever and however the transition is made. He might get hurt this year, he might retire, and then they've got a sort of a plug-and-play team for a new quarterback that can learn the position with a running game and a defense.
Okay, Doug, thanks for the call. Pac-Man, what do you think of that?
They're building it for Stid the kid? No,
whoever it is. Let's say it's not him. Just that they're...
No, I think that's, again, I think the way that they've done it previously and the way that I would do it right now around Brady would be the way to do that, where they brought in Cooks and they really loaded up. That would be my transition for a young quarterback. And I get it. Like, you want to build up the defense and the running game too. I mean, preferably everything around the quarterback would be in a good position. I think the defense and the running game are fine. I'd want to work on those skill positions if I were going to, groom it for the next guy.
I mean, I definitely had the feeling when they went out in the offseason that year and went out and got Brandon Cooks.
That's what they were doing.
Yeah, they were building it for Garoppolo. They were building it for Garoppolo, and then Bill realized he wasn't going to be able to keep Garoppolo, and Next thing you know, Cooks is out the door and Amendola's out the door, and all of a sudden they completely changed direction.
And Cooks kind of stunk.
So that's what it felt like to me. Again, what do I know? But that's what it felt like. They were starting to build it around the new quarterback. Then they lost a new quarterback in reverse field. So where are they going now? Like, are they building it for the next guy? Isn't it hard to do that until you know who the next guy is?
Yeah, correct. Yeah. I mean, that's why I brought up Stidham. Because like you said, or whoever the next guy is, right. Until you know who that is, that's real hard to do.
I mean, you have to build it for his skill set, right? If he's good at certain things, then you go out and get players that can complement that. So if he's a guy that can throw the ball deep down the field, why would you get him a slot receiver? You
right.
follow me?
Yeah. It's not right. When Bledsoe went to, going back a ways, when Bledsoe went down in 01, they didn't just have Brady chuck it down the field like he was Drew Bledsoe. They tailor-made the offense to him.
Absolutely. Yeah. And so I think now what they're doing is, they're building the team, I'm going to say around Brady again, but I think they're building it with the knowledge that Brady is the quarterback, which means that Bill has to anticipate what Brady is going to be and what he's going to look like. Albert's in Rhode Island. Get Albert.
How's it going, guys?
Good.
Tony, unfortunately, I agree with you, but let me tell you something, man.
Agree with on what?
I agree with you on what where you're going with Brady and the fact that he's going to be secondary or maybe even third to a defense and a running game that are going to be more prominent in their attack. But let me tell you something. You have an uphill battle that is beyond unconquerable because the people that you are speaking to and that are going to call up that radio station are going to defend the fact that everything and anything happening on this team is all Brady all day because they're one dumber than the other. Even though last year in the playoffs, he was one stupid 0.1 hundredth of a centimeter default offsides penalty away from having one touchdown, three interceptions. We'd be having a completely different conversation.
True.
Then he goes into the Super Bowl. His first pass of the game is intercepted. Doesn't throw a touchdown. Not only do you win the game by double digits. It's not about Brady. I'm not going to be ridiculous. Say it never was. He always was the second piece. It always was Belichick conducting and keeping this team ahead of everyone else because he is miles ahead of every other coach, where Brady is not miles ahead of every other quarterback.
Okay.
You're on point.
Yeah, so Albert, I'm going to let you go. I half agree with you. Half agree with you. And when I say that, Brady was not always second.
He was, no. So that's what I was just going to say. Last year, Brady was second. Last year, Brady was second. Right? Bill got his groove back. Bill was scheming and Bill was shutting down the opposing offense, high flying offense, a whiz kid. Sean McVay in the Super Bowl, not in the AFC Championship game so much, but in the Super Bowl for sure. I think Brady, over the long haul and over the full scope of it, Brady was the number one piece and Bill was second, 51-49 or 50.1 to 49.9. I'd skew Brady, but last year it wasn't that. I agree.
So for the longest time, and this is how, look, Chris Gasper of the Globe says this when he's in here, and I think that Chris, generally speaking, he and I share it. We have a common mind on this thing, or we have a like mind on this thing, which is to say that part of the reason Bill was able to manage it over the years like he has is because he had Brady.
Yeah.
Brady covered up all the weaknesses.
It's a real nice safety net to have.
So to me, that makes Brady first. I don't think he can do it that way anymore. That's really what I'm getting at. I don't think Brady's good enough anymore. And he wasn't last year. Maybe he'll go back this year and be great again. And in which case, he'll make me look like a complete a-hole again.
He's faster than he's ever been. He's throwing 61 miles an hour, whatever that means.
So I think in the past, Brady's been able to cover up all the deficiencies, all the shortcomings, because he was just so damn good that they were able to get away with it. And Bill could cut corners on certain parts of the roster. I'm just not sure they can do that anymore. I mean, and so admittedly, you'd like to see them put more talent around Brady.
Yeah, I think he is cutting corners on the roster with wide receiver and tight end.
So, and I think that Bill in the past would do that at the expense of the defense and what have you. And now he's not doing it because he doesn't know if the quarterback can take him where he needs to go. That's, again, just my opinion. Steve's in Boston. Steve, go.
Hey, guys. I just want to touch on David Price's season so far. He's been fantastic. He has a big start against Clayton Kershaw coming up, and I think he could regain his A status. I mean, a 3.5 ERA isn't an A status, but if he starts shutting teams down left and right, starts throwing, long innings, 8-9 innings, well, 7 or 8 innings to really get us by with a with a crappy bullpen, I think he could become that ace we need him to be. Have a good day, guys.
Okay, so I don't know why where the price thing came from, other than to tell you 617-779-0985, 6 p.m., the Baseball Reporters. That's the show you want to call. Usually I tell you to call Jones at 7 o'clock tonight, but he's not going to be there at 7.
Nope, I think it's Joe Murray.
Chris is in Avon. Chris, go.
All right, Tony, I totally think you're wrong here about not wanting to move on from Betts and JD. So the reason why you move on is because right now they have nothing to trade to try to add big pieces to the bullpen, and they don't have the cap flexibility to do it. So if you move on from Betts and JD, you can get some prospects who are going to be ready in like 2 to 3 years from now, and you're not totally punting. You're going to have a nice young team to go with, but in 2 to 3 years, you'll have a more stocked, ready-to-go farm system. You'll have Devers in his prime, and you're going to be like the Yankees. You're going to have a loaded farm system to be able to go out and get those pieces that are going to help your team.
So, Chris, just a quick question, trying to stick to the topic. Do you believe that the Red Sox have the talent to make a run at a championship?
No.
Okay, if you don't, so then you would move Betts or Mookie. You would move Betts or Martinez at this deadline.
Yes, I would. You get the prospects.
Yeah, no. Listen, that's consistent.
It is.
I mean, that's consistent. You don't think that they have a talent to make a run at a championship? They have the talent. Whether they'll put it together this year, I have my doubts. But it's essentially, if they get a little bullpen help or Eovaldi can pitch out there, it's essentially the same team it was a year ago.
Yeah, they need more help out of the other starters not named David Price. But yes, I generally agree. If they can fix their pitching, bullpen and the starters 2 through 4 or 5, whatever they end up going with, yeah, I'm with you on that. And
so now, so this is where, again, maybe I'm the exception here. I look at that. At least the caller says, no, I don't think they have the talent to win the championship this year. So I would move Mookie and JD now. Fine. In the one hand, and I'm a total hypocrite on this one, I will sit here and tell you that, no, I think they have the talent to make a run. I just don't know if it's going to come together, which is why I would trade Mookie. Like, I would move Mookie at this deadline if you get the right deal.
Why not wait till the offseason? See, I was just going to say to the caller, I'd middle it. I'd try to contend this year, and then in the offseason, I'd move Mookie.
Which is what they're going to do.
I don't think you're going to get that much less in the offseason than the trade deadline. You make a good, honest run at it now, and then in the offseason, go ahead and restock the farm system. I think the offseason is a time where I would look at moving Mookie Betts. I would not do it at the deadline.
So I think the Red Sox, Adam, are going to do it the way you're talking about. They're not going to move him in the middle of the season. They still have too much at stake this year to play for.
But you would.
I would if you got knocked over. I wouldn't give him away.
Right, of course not. But if you got a representative offer, you'd do it now.
I would. Yeah, I would. Because I think you'll get a little bit more now than you would in the offseason.
A little bit.
Because whoever gets him would have him for a year and a half at a minimum, or two playoff runs. And the value there is pretty good. Right? You get a second playoff run out of him from the Red Sox. I ask for more. And to me, there would be impetus to do that. Unless you get that type of offer, though, I absolutely do not move him. Now, again, the second part of that is, what happens in the offseason? So you know what? I threw this out in the Baseball Reporters last night. Let me throw it to you now. I'd be eager to hear your thoughts on it. We'll get to that question after Marshall gets you caught up on it.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Felger and Mass.
I love it.
You were right, Mass.
I just keep loving it more and more.
Bored my listeners to death.
I finally feel alive.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sounds good.
No, there's talk. Like, once season starts, there's no more of that talk. Just kind of focus right now on the rest of the year. Yeah, you'd have to think about it, but it's just a thought, and then it goes into passing. You have to take care of your business right now, and it's just one of those things where it's going to come, no matter what you do, it's going to come. You just don't rush it.
It's Mookie Betts at the All-Star break talking about his contract talks or lack thereof with the Red Sox. And this leads into a question I want to ask Adam Jones. We asked this last night on the Baseball Reporters. Marshall has an opinion on it too. I know he's a big baseball guy. But the core of the Red Sox going forward, Jones, the core of their lineup, their positional lineup, really, it comes down to 4 guys, really. And to me, this is true of most good teams, when you really look at it, you have three or four guys in the middle of the lineup that are the core. Hell, you could even say in some cases it's two. But whatever. That there's somewhere in there. And on this team, it's apparent. Mookie Betts, J.D. Martinez, Xander Bogaerts, and now Rafael Devers. Four is a lot. I mean, if you have four guys, the two through five in your batting order, or the three through six, that's a lot. That's a good group. There's no way the Red Sox can keep all four of those guys. I don't think, going forward.
And you're not even counting Benintendi in that
group. I'm not. No, Benintendi to me is like as average as it gets.
No, well, I mean, there should be more than he's accomplished, but he's had an average season. But I don't mean to sidetrack you. But you're not even putting him in that group.
No, I'm not. To me, the
and a lot of teams, he's probably in that group.
Okay, so but the four guys, those four guys are centerpiece lineup kind of guys.
Yep.
Okay? You're not going to keep them all. We used to have this conversation with the Patriots about Chandler Jones, Dante Hightower, Jamie Collins.
Well, if it's the Patriots, you just get rid of all of them. You don't keep three out of four. You just get rid of all of them.
So if you are the Red Sox, of those four guys, you can only keep three. Who are you moving and why?
So my question would be, when are we doing this? Are we doing this at the deadline, or are we doing this in the offseason?
You tell me, whenever.
Generically. Okay. If it were the deadline, JD is probably the guy to go. Otherwise, I think Betts is the guy to go. I think he gets you a lot in return. I'm not sure he wants to be here long term. And as good as he is as an all-around player, and he's excellent when he's on, as an all-around player. It's been like every other year with him. Runner-up with MVP, I guess, 3 years ago, and then last year the MVP. Other years, more pedestrian. I don't know that he impacts a lineup quite the same as someone like JD Martinez. So I think Betts would be the guy. I think he gives you a good return. I'm not sure he wants to be here long-term. And I think in terms of your batting lineup or order, I think he's maybe easier to replace than some others in terms of power and things like that.
Okay, so I just want to go over this because I get these mixed up last night. Jimmy Stewart, when we asked this question last night, you said Mookie Betts goes.
Yes, because I can get more value for Mookie Betts in a rebuild than I can any other player.
Okay, and Marshall, you said J.D. Martinez goes.
I did. He's the oldest, and he's got the smallest skill set, which is most likely to erode.
Okay, so at the end of the day, it really is a question about two guys and not four. Okay, but I throw the four out there because, you know, they're now emerging as centerpiece kinds of guys. So when you add those two to the two you already had, you now have four guys there. I mean, that's pretty good. There's no way you keep all four. There's just no way. I don't think there's any way, really, the Red Sox can pull it off.
Well, because Betts doesn't want to be here? Or because, and maybe JD wants to opt out, or because the Red Sox can't afford to do it?
Do you think they're going to sign both JD Martinez and Mookie Betts?
Well, do I think they're going to? No. Do I think they could? Yes.
Okay, so I'm telling you that I don't think that's a possibility. I'm mathematically, could the Red Sox go to $260 million? Sure.
Yeah, I mean, the Yankees are going to pay four guys.
Okay, but it's not apples to apples. Judge is on a on a cheap contract at the moment, and Devers is on a cheap contract at the moment too. Sanchez signed for relatively modest dollars, didn't he? Like, so if everyone wants to take less, fine. Mookie Betts wants $35 million a year, and J.D. Martinez wants $25 million a year. It's not going to happen, right? I just think practically it's not going to happen. So more people, I think, really it's one of those two guys in all probability they're going to have to go on without. And I would move Mookie either way, whether it's at the deadline or at the end of the season. I know you distinguish between the two, and I'm not telling you you're wrong to draw that distinction. But to me, Mookie gets you more. And honestly, I think JD's a better fit. I think JD Martinez is a better hitter than Mookie Betts. So Mookie Betts a better right fielder? Or better, all-around player?
Yeah, Betts is a better player, but Martinez is a better hitter.
Yeah. Absolutely, and I'll take the bat every time. And if someone says to me, well, wait a minute, you're going to pay a DH that kind of money? My answer is, yep, I am. David Ortiz was worth it, wasn't he?
Mm-hmm.
I would absolutely pay a DH that kind of money. And I think the Red Sox are going to be faced with this decision eventually after the season. Now, look, there's the chance it gets made for them. If J.D. Martinez opts out and he wants something ridiculous, and Mookie Betts is willing to re-sign and take, just say, 25. Fine. No problem. Keep Mookie, get rid of JD. Fine. No problem. I'm in. I'm not going to let them both go. I'll tell you that right now, because then I worry about the lineup.
I also am somewhat skeptical Martinez is going to opt out and has big money waiting for him out there. Now, he didn't last time.
Correct.
And he's only older and, with his back this year, more hurt. So I'm not as afraid of him opting out and leaving them and leaving them in the lurch. Maybe he will, but that doesn't scare me as much as it does some other people.
So I think there's a chance he opts in too.
Right.
And the money drops in year four of the contract. So in other words, he could still make a pretty good living and, you know, then opt out the year after if he wants. But I do think that the farther he goes along, the older he gets, that the shorter the deal that he's going to get on the market.
Did I hear you guys last night? You all agreed. I think everyone agreed that Bogaerts is their untouchable, right?
Yes.
Yes.
If you asked it the other way, like out of those four, who's the guy you would refuse to move? You guys both have Bogaerts ahead of Devers?
I do.
Why? Yeah,
because I think he's a more established talent at this point. And yes, I know that he costs less, or Devers does, and Devers, you know, is under your control for longer. I'm just not 100% convinced in his longevity as you know, he's not established himself to me the way that Xander Bogaerts has.
You okay. Just see, you don't believe in the ability as much yet.
Yeah.
And the other thing for me that's a factor, the position.
Yeah, shortstop's more important than third.
$20 million shortstop that hits like that's a pretty good deal. And I also think there is now a leadership component that Bogaerts has become the face of your team.
Yeah, but
or is becoming.
Yeah,
is a better way to put it.
But if he's the leader of this team, what exactly does that say? It's an underachieving team.
So I'm not telling you he runs it yet. I'm telling you he's heading that way, that he is becoming the guy in that on that team that sort of sets the culture. A little by little, he's getting there. He's probably not there yet, but I feel like they committed to him, and I think that he has good, you know, he's a good guy for that role because he plays hard every day. He generally, you know, does his job in the field. He's not the greatest player in the big leagues, but he's a solid all-around good player. And you could do worse than that. Now, I don't know that this... The other thing is, the team's underachieving. Is that his fault?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I'm just saying, if he's the leader, then yeah, then he has to wear some of that for sure.
Okay, but do they have a... I mean, he's showing up and producing. He just signed a multi-year contract from $120 million or whatever the number was. And he's producing. So whatever the problem the team has, like I just don't, what I don't understand is how does that connect to him?
He's the leader of the underachieving team, according to you. So how does that not connect? I don't follow. If he's the leader and the team's underachieving, then somewhere you got to blame the leader, no?
If
you have a manager and the team's underachieving, don't you have to get on the manager?
Sure, the team is unprepared to start the year.
Sure.
Is Bogaerts unprepared?
No, I don't think he's unprepared. He's also not. He's not exactly whipping guys into shape, which I think is the role of the leader. No,
so
I don't know what else the role of the leader is.
The ass kicking part, like, is what you're saying.
I mean, something. Whether it's ass kicking or whether it's just encouraging guys, or I mean, something isn't clicking there. If that's your leader and your team's underachieving, it's not clicking.
No, I suppose that's true. I mean, again, I don't look at it the way you do.
It's kind of what I would say about Horford last year. Like, Horford's supposed to be this great leader. Well, the team wasn't led all that well. He's supposed to be the adult in the room, and he couldn't rise above it or get guys to get in line. So, yeah, I put some of that on Horford.
It's a good point.
I know Bogaerts is younger, but yeah. That would be my analogy.
Yeah, I'm not sure Bogaerts is all the way there yet. I just like how he carries himself. I think he's a pro, and I think he's a good guy to have as the face of your franchise. So maybe that's a different thing. I don't know. But I think that he is the kind of guy that's a good guy to have as a model. And I'm not sure Derek Jeter is a great leader either. Would you call him one?
No.
No?
Derek Jeter?
Yeah.
No.
Not a good leader.
No.
I think he's a pretty good leader.
I mean, but he wasn't the kind of guy that would kick guys in the ass.
No.
And he was a guy who put his own career over that of
other
players.
So later
and
career,
his insistence on playing shortstop when he was well beyond the point of being able to do that.
Yeah, sure. That's after they won 4 out of 5.
Yeah.
I mean, so I don't know. I mean, that was a lot later in his career.
To which I would say that he was a part of, but not nearly the leader of or reason of that he gets credit for.
Okay, maybe not. I mean, do you think Jason Varitek gets too much credit?
Yes.
Okay, well, then that's consistent.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, if you want to say that, then sure.
Yeah, also juiced a lot.
So, again, I use the word leader. Maybe I shouldn't have Pac-Man. I look at it and say, I think Bogaerts is a good guy to be the face of your franchise. He's a good guy to do that. And I think there's value in that. The big thing is shortstop. You can get a $20 million player at that position, I'll take it.
Are you saying Betts isn't?
I don't think Betts is.
Okay.
Yeah. I base some of this on what I hear, so I'm glad you brought this up.
The piece left unsaid, right? If Bogaerts is good at it, then you're saying Betts is not.
Yeah, I think that from what I understand, whenever someone in there wants to have a discussion about the team, Bogaerts is there. And this is a media thing, but I think there's something to it in terms of the guy that will stand up and speak for the team.
Yeah, it's part of the job.
Bogaerts will do what Betts won't. Betts wants nothing to do with it. And I also put some stock in the fact that Xander Bogaerts has Scott Boras as an agent. His contract was going to be up at the end of the year, and he re-signed. He was closer to free agency than Mookie Betts was. He re-signed.
Yeah, and what's looking like a below-market deal.
Right. So the point being, he wants to be here. He then got the money and produced. His defense has really improved to the point where he's no Gold Glover, but he's steady. Bogaerts a steady player. And you know what? If I'm going to marry a guy, I want someone steady. That's the kind of guy I want.
Yep.
And so
home at six every night.
There you go.
Mookie, Andy wants to be here. I know you said that, but I'm going to reiterate that point. That's not nothing. It wasn't like he said, well, I guess this is where the money is, so I will take it. He took less money to stay here, and I think that, again,
speaks
I know
volumes.
You just said that, but I think that is not to be understated at all. That is an enormous part of the leadership component.
Sure, but you
Derek Jeter
you know
did not
that?
Take less money.
No.
He took market value, and he did it immediately.
But you know who does that? Guys who aren't quite elite.
So that's probably right. Yeah, that's probably right, although, you know, I guess...
Always finding the negative.
Well, no, I'm just saying, the guys who are willing to stay and take less usually aren't elite. There are exceptions, and Brady, but, you know, I don't know. That's usually guys who are willing to do that know that, you know, there's some issues with them.
No, and it's very rare in baseball. Like, leave Brady out of it. That's a whole different, you know, that league financially is totally different. But it's rare in baseball. It is. For an elite guy to do it. And so, look, if Mookie Betts wants to be a free agent, get his money, all the power to him. But if I'm the Red Sox at the end of the year, I'm trading his ass. Like, I don't mean that.
I don't disagree. I just like the way you say it.
No,
let's just cut to the chase.
Nothing personal, but I can't let an asset like you walk out the door and get nothing for you. I'm sorry. And I think Bogaerts is a good guy to you to hold up as an emblem to everyone else in that clubhouse and in that organization and say, no, this is what we want you to be.
Yeah.
Like, I'm okay with that. We'll get the caller's thoughts on this when we come back.
This is Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
I hate jokes. We're not taking jokes.
That joke's blue.
It's Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Okay, we'll get right back to your phone calls here. Howie is in New York on the Mookie Betts situation. What do you got, Howie?
Yeah, you know what? If I were the Red Sox, he would be gone already. I would look at Atlanta. I would try to get myself someone like Albies, a young pitcher like Wright. But here's my real issue. The idiot GM who replaced Greg Kimbrell with Colton Brewer, are we really sure he's going to know what to do and who he's going to... Are we going to trust a package that this idiot brings in?
So, Howie, listen, it's a fair point. God, your phone was horrible.
It was real tough.
Oh, God, I'd love to keep you on. But I just can't. It was impossible to hear. So the idea that, is Dave Dombrowski the guy you want making the Mookie Betts deal?
Yeah.
Really? Why?
I don't think he's lost many trades. The Thornburg trade was a brutal trade. In retrospect, I was on board with the Kinsler trade. I know you weren't. That's another one they regret. I don't know how many he's lost, and he's won a bunch. So
Steve Pearce is a good deal.
Steve Pearce
was a great deal. Was a good deal.
Evaldi was a really good deal. You want to go back a few years, it's another minor one. Ziegler was a good deal. Sale remains a good deal. Kimbrel was a win. Who from the Kimbrel deal has come back to bite you? I think, and maybe I'm on an island on this one, I think they won the Pomerantz deal. Espinosa hasn't pitched since 2016.
No, they have won it so far.
So, I mean, I don't think there's a lot of deals he's lost, to be honest. I'm not saying he's the greatest GM in the sport. He's not as good as Theo. But... I don't know. I think he's a pretty good GM. He takes way too much flack for my taste. I actually think he's been a good GM.
Okay, so the knock on Dombrowski, and I'm not telling you anything you don't know, I'm just trying to offer the other side here, is that he's a guy that trades prospects for superstars, not the other way around.
Sure, but he traded away David Price, and I don't know. I mean, I'm not saying Matt Boyd's like the greatest pitcher in the world, but that's somebody he restocked, and David Price was like a rental. That wasn't even a guy he had for a long time.
Sure.
I don't know. I mean,
Identified Max Scherzer in Arizona.
That's another good one. I got to dig in more on his, you know, selling off and kind of rebuilding. The ones he's known best for, you know, trades like Miguel Cabrera. But I don't know. I have a pretty high degree of faith in him as a GM. Is he going to butcher your farm system and sell guys off? Yeah. But that's because he's trying to contend now. If you were asking him to retool and sell off pieces, I don't know why you think he'd be terrible at that.
I have my doubts.
No, I mean, the caller does, and you have your doubts as well.
Yeah, I do. I have my doubts, but I will tell you that there are deals like the ones you pointed out. Again, Scherzer's a big one, right? They made the deal with Arizona when Scherzer was with Arizona.
Flip? Was that Weaver? I think that was the three. Nah, maybe I'm getting my trades confused now.
You know what? Look it up. I thought it was a one-for-one deal, and I remember thinking, wow, what a steal for the Tigers. That was a good deal
even at the time you thought that.
For Dombrowski. Nick is in Connecticut while Jones is looking that up. Nick, what do you got?
All right, guys. So I think you guys are overreacting just a little bit about, you know, JD Martinez and Mookie Betts being like gone and stuff. What do you guys think is the main problem with the Red Sox right now this season?
Bullpen.
Bullpen is right.
Bullpen. Okay, thank you. Okay, then what the hell are we talking about?
Nick, but again, you're twisting the argument. You're focusing on a different thing. We all agree that they need bullpen help. The question is,
okay, cool.
The question we presented was at the end of the year, you have to pick one of the two, Mookie Betts or JD. Who's going?
Mookie Betts.
Okay, so you agree.
If I had to, but I would keep both of them if I can. And right now at the deadline, I wouldn't be trading Mookie Betts like you would. I would be trying my best to get a reliever like Will Smith or a Shane Green from the Tigers.
Okay, so again, and I don't necessarily disagree with that. I'd like to see them get bullpen help too. I think that in all probability that that's what they're going to do.
Yeah, I'd do both. I'd add the reliever now, and in the offseason, I'd probably sell Mookie Betts. If he doesn't want to be here and you're getting indications that he's not sold on staying here, that's what I'd do. Yeah.
I mean, I was surprised at how many fans last night were willing to cut bait with Mookie at the end of the year. A year ago, if you had said this idea about Mookie Betts, people would go bananas.
Yeah.
And I understand. I mean, it's all about what's going on in the here and now.
The difference is he's kind of stunk.
So, you know, he's been okay. I mean, he the OPS is still in the mid 800s.
Yep.
Right? It's not
I know you don't. Probably don't care much for this, but I think his WAR is still the highest on the team,
okay.
You know, which speaks to his all-around game. But yeah, the bat has not been what anybody wants this year.
And at the end of the day, it comes down to what he wants and whether you think he's worth it. It doesn't mean you think he's a bad player or a good player. The question is, do you think he's worth it? And I don't think he's worth $35 million a year. I don't.
And in an odd way, I think that both the Celtics and Patriots helped set up this fandom for a trade of Mookie Betts that just watched Kyrie Irving walk away for nothing, and for years have watched the Patriots, yeah, or at least by reputation, always trade somebody 1 year, you know, too soon rather than 1 year too late. And so if they, you know, fans that look at the entire Boston sports scene and they might trust and say, well, in the Belichickian way, we're getting rid of him before we get nothing for him, and better to do it now than wait a year and he just walks away and we get nothing for him.
See, I think he is worth $35 million a year, by the way. I'm a little afraid he won't take it here. But I think he's worth that kind. I mean, he is an elite player in baseball, but I think you'd get a really good return for him, and I don't know that he'd take it here. And like you said, I don't know if the Red Sox are going to blow out the luxury tax and just hand it to him.
So I worry about both. I'm worried that he's worth it, and I'm worried that he wouldn't take it anyway.
You want your Scherzer answer now, or do you want it after that?
No, go quickly. Who do they trade for Scherzer?
It's a good deal, by
the way. It was Granderson was one of the pieces that went out. Kennedy went to the Yankees. It was a three-way deal.
It was Ian Kennedy, the big one. That was the one I was thinking, Ian Kennedy. And they got Scherzer in that deal. That was a three-way?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Nothing like a good three-way, Jones.
The Tigers, nice, all three-way.
The Tigers gave up Granderson and Edwin three-way. Jackson, by the way.
Edwin Jackson was another
Edwin
guy.
Edwin Jackson, and they got Max Scherzer.
Oh, what a steal. I mean, what an absolute steal. Top of the hour, no commercials. We're in our longest commercial-free segment. When we come back, we will reintroduce the question we asked about the Patriots at the beginning of the program concerning how they are building the roster and whether Tom Brady is getting screwed by Bill Belichick with that receiving corps. We'll do that when we come back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.